This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hola, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fans podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, Steve-O. What's up, bud?
What did you guys do to our good friend Jono this morning? I walked in.
Let's not worry about it.
Are the Cincinnati Reds that bad?
He's not a Cardinal fan. Who cares?
But he's firing me from the Cowboys podcast.
We got our own problems.
Well, we do have problems.
We got our own
problems. Here's what I felt like. And you'll like this one. I was thinking that all of a sudden, man, you're down at the casino. You're at the blackjack table. You hit a couple of blackjacks in a row last weekend, right?
Okay.
And then it's like four bad beats in a row where you're staring at 19s and 20s, and this dealer's throwing over four and five card 21s to beat you. I mean, that's how it felt all week long. I mean, you lost four in a row right there in the middle of the week and salvaged one yesterday.
Well, I mean, okay, we goes back to what I've – how many times have I said, win or lose, it's going to be a bumpy ride?
Yeah, I get it, but 20, I don't want to lose. The dealer's showing a 5, but I have a I have 20 sitting in front of me.
Lose. But it's the why. And what have I said since day one? It's the why. What have I said?
Yeah.
The team is poorly constructed. Now listen, and I had some great Twitter conversations this weekend, very respectful, with some people that completely, and that's fine, I don't care, completely want to blame this all on the manager. Completely 100% it's the manager's fault. I assure you, he is not beyond fault. No way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But not Earl Weaver, not Tony La Russa, not Connie Mack. Nobody is going to do anything different with this team because they don't have any personnel. What are you going to do? Hang on a second. I want you to stop for a second before you answer and think about this, okay? You're not replacing anybody with anybody proven, okay? Anybody you replace somebody with is a maybe, just like the guy you're replacing. Now, if you want to talk to me about a track record of a proven really good player, who is that? Who is it? I set that out the other day. Who is a proven, really good player on this team? Who? Start at the top.
It doesn't matter from that standpoint, because here's the deal. We're sitting in a winning position.
That's right. That's my point. Day in and day out.
We're sitting in a winning position. The problem is, are you telling me Broxton's never been good? You telling me Segrist's never been good? Rosenthal, oh.
That's right.
Up and down the line, these guys have all been good.
At times.
At times.
There you go.
Okay? They've all been good.
Sure.
But the Cleveland Indians are 16-0 this year if they take a lead into the seventh
inning. Why is that?
Andrew Miller.
That's right. He's one of the reasons.
One of them. Exactly. Right. So, I mean, how many games have we lost in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning?
Now, let me ask you this question, okay? How is a manager supposed to run a consistent bullpen when the only thing consistent about his bullpen is that he's got consistently guys walking in every day going, I don't think I can go tonight, Skip. How are you supposed to do that?
I'm a player's play guy. You know that.
Okay.
I'm a player's play guy.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you the question. When Trevor Rosenthal walks in after a day off and says, I'm not, you know, the medical staff won't let me go tonight because I told them I'm a little sore here. Well, okay. Now I got to alter my game plan. Okay? And then, see, the beautiful thing about managing after the fact is when you bring in Segrist and he doesn't do well, you can say, why'd you bring in Segrist? That's the nature of that beast, right? No matter what you do. Here's the deal. We are now up to no less than four guys that, according to Twitterverse or Social Media Central, can't pitch in high-leverage situations.
It's painful.
How in the hell are you supposed to play baseball if three-quarters of your bullpen can't? That's what their job is to pitch in high-leverage situations.
It's real easy to throw the ball when you're up by eight or down by eight.
I don't understand. These guys, listen, you can't throw the same guys every night. I don't know what people think out there, but I assure you, no pitcher throws every night.
Well, we've seen some Little League managers do it, that's for sure. And I'm frustrated with it.
So now I'm going to come full circle with this
thing.
Okay? We need some real help in the bullpen. Real help. Real help.
Absolutely.
What are we doing about it?
We trade Matt Adams. Did we get real help?
None.
None. But we cleared up a roster spot.
Well, I mean,
you know, that's all we did. We cleared up one roster spot, so
once
we didn't
again,
have an issue.
But once again, what have I been saying for over a year?
Well, they're going to have to decide.
Poorly constructed team.
Hang on. They're going to have to decide if they want to win this year is what they're going to have to decide.
Matt Adams was a one-trick pony.
He
was a backup first baseman. Now, here's the problem with Matt Adams. Matt Adams is probably our best defensive first baseman, but that's fine. Okay? But never consistent. Well, that's the other thing. We just got a bunch of guys that aren't consistent. I mean, Randall Grichuk. See, here's the problem with Randall Grichuk. He does what he does yesterday. Everybody goes, oh, Randall Grichuk. And then you got to watch him for three or four games take an awful at-bat like he did the other night.
Yep.
In a crucial situation.
Where the ball almost hit him.
Awful. No approach.
That's the thing
fans don't look at, that a manager has to look at.
But that doesn't bother me. You're going to have to decide if you're Mo or Mike Matheny, if you're going to try and win it this year.
Okay, so here's the thing. Cardinal fan can't handle a dump. That's what we have here.
And it might be a dump.
Let me ask you a question.
Even if it's a dump, I'm okay with it.
Let me ask you a question. And we'll go to break on this one because I want you to think about it over the break. Okay. When we come back, we're going to hear from Nate McHenry. I'm going to want his thoughts on this as well. I'm going to give you, instead of, unlike Nate, who's going to get about 3 seconds to think about it, I'm going to give you the break to think about it, okay? Would Tony La Russa have been okay with the way this roster's been managed since 2012 to 2017, what they've done with this roster? Would Tony La Russa have even stuck around if they've given this manager the types of players that they've given him starting the year after? Now, hang on a second here. I want everybody to think about this. No more Chris Carpenter in the clubhouse. No more Chris Carpenter in the rotation, even though he was hurt sometimes. No more Albert Pujols. Okay? No more go out. Now, they did sign Beltran, who I liked. Okay?
And he's still killing it, isn't he?
Okay, I liked Beltran. Okay? But no more of those types of guys have we seen. I haven't seen him since Tony La Russa's left.
Does Peralta not fall into that?
Well, they went out and got help there for sure.
Okay.
No doubt about it. That he helped them for 1 year. But even Johnny Peralta, would you tell me he was a major difference maker?
No.
Okay.
No.
So my point is, who the heck, what good manager would be okay with being handed this roster? Each year, I want you to look at it. All you got to do, I've done it. All you got to do is go back to 2012 and start looking at rosters and how it's trended up to 2017. And you tell me who is the one that's done the fundamental change in what they're doing. You tell me. We'll go look at it. You take a look at it while we're going to break. Let's hit that break. Going to thank our good friend Steve-O and everything he does for us with his great mortgage company. We're going to hear from him right here. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll hit that Rally Squirrel report with my friend and yours, Nate McHenry. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Thanks for sticking with us through that there. And again, special thanks to Steve-O and his wonderful wife, Emily, and everything Supreme Lending does for us. Steve-O, I hope that's that spot's garnering you a little attention here in town. I know we've got a lot of great Cardinal fans out there, and it is crazy right now. I mean, I'm seeing tons and tons of people buying homes on Facebook. So they definitely need to give you a call. Like I said, I've used you three times, and three different reasons I've used you, and each time it was painless, great. You did a great job, and really that's how our friendship began all them years ago when I bought my first house up here. So
I appreciate that, Jim.
Nope, good stuff. Good stuff as always. Another guy who's excellent for the show, both in his contributions and everything he does for it on air and off air, kind of like my good buddy Steve-O here, is my friend and yours, Nate McHenry. You guys know him as the rallysquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. Every day we just keep creeping closer. We're almost there. Steve-O, I checked it the other day. We're almost to 99,500 at rallysquirrel.com. I tell you, that I think it's that whole thing of when you get there, it's so hard to keep getting them because they're not going to come in bunches anymore because you've got almost 100,000 people. But he does a great job. He does an amazing thing for all Cardinal fans out there with what he shares. His Rally Squirrel Club's awesome. But really, for us, selfishly, he's a great guest to have on here each week. One of these days, we're going to disagree and have a nice little discussion on here, but it hasn't happened yet. I'm still waiting for it. So let's welcome in my friend and yours, Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Jim and Steve. Good to be here again, and appreciate being able to be a part of the show. And looking forward to talking some Cardinals this morning as we maybe didn't have quite the homestand we were hoping for sure. Lots of changes.
Yeah, well, we get to speak freely here. We promised last week that the first 10 minutes with Benji, when we get him on after you, is going to be 10 minutes of positivity. So that's going to be an interesting
All right.
one. Although yesterday's game probably had enough positives in it to talk for 10 minutes, so that's good. But that's the problem. Nobody wants to talk about the positive. Everybody wants to talk about the negatives. And as Steve-O mentioned, you know, sandwiched in between a great weekend before and a win on Sunday is four straight losses, some of them painful, with a bullpen that, quite frankly, is in my opinion, going to be the undoing of this whole thing. I mean, we're talking about base running all the time. We're talking about defense. And while, yes, those are our problems, I interestingly think it's a problem all across baseball, which if you watch any baseball game, it's amazing how fundamentals are out the window. But the bullpen right now is a major problem. And it, in my opinion, and I want to hear yours, is I don't know what you do because it's not even my opinion, a lack of talent. The guy's got guys coming in every day saying, I'm not available, Skip. You cannot have any continuity out there. If Trevor Rosenthal comes in and says, hey, they won't let me throw today because I told them I'm a little sore here, and they're like, well, you're not throwing. You know, Kevin Segrist can't throw today. I'm telling you, this is a problem when two of the guys you're counting on, you don't know if you have them available every day. It's going to be an issue. It's going to be a real issue.
Yeah. Two 13-inning games certainly don't help either. So, you know, you got to throw guys, maybe an extra inning here. You got to put guys in longer. And the start from Waino was huge yesterday, obviously. And we've talked about it several times. You know, we need Tyler Lyons. We need some other guys that are hopefully going to be coming off the DL that can maybe step up into this role and be a trusted arm. You know, even a Marco Gonzalez, you know, obviously he's a starter, but maybe he's a fit in the bullpen right now, and especially a lefty. But we got to figure something out. I'm with you. You know, We seem really reserved on the health of our bullpen. And so if Rosie, you know, was sore one day to the next, I don't know. For me right now, let's deal with getting to win games that we should be winning. And hopefully we have some margin towards the end of the year with some games built up that we won because we were able to play guys. And, you know, got to deal with those kind of things later. I don't know. Maybe the approach that they're taking is let's play for later and let's keep guys healthy. I know Walk has already been out for a while, you know, supposedly for that sort of rest time. And he came back and had a great outing. I think there's several positives. Certainly we could talk about last week. One of those, probably Peralta, you know, coming in. It was great to see him. I know it was a short sample, you know, three games, but on base five times and came in twice, got a pinch hit, and you like to see his contribution right away. So I was really happy about that. And Waino's continued to prove me wrong. I know I've been on record as saying I didn't have a lot of trust in Waino's dated, you know, performance to performance outings and not sure he could string together back to back performances in this stage of his career, but I think he's had four quality starts in a row, if that's right. But great to see that too. And so, you know, I was obviously disappointed with the four games that we lost in a row, but I think if two of those games go different in the extra innings, for example, we're having a much different conversation today. And again, it's a long, long season and we're in an okay position, and I'm not fretting too much today about that stretch there. Although I do think this West Coast trip coming up is going to be tough, going to LA and then to Colorado. That's not going to be a walk in the park. So you might challenge Benji next week to have something positive to say, because that could be tougher than this week, I think.
We will do that. I will tell you this. If there's one guy that you're glad you're wrong about, it's Waino, I'm sure. Because, again, we've talked about it on this show. I think Cardinal fans out there have beaten it down at nauseam. He's the one guy that you hate to bag on, you know, because he's meant so much to the team. And let's face it, once you get past your immediate emotion, you know, that's part of it. It just is. I mean, this is a long thing, long deal. You know, you got to think about the contributions people have made to your franchise. Memories, you know, we talk about all the time. Steve-O and I talk, you know, where were you in 2006? Where were you in 2011? Where were you when these are things you'll remember forever. Waino's had a big part in a lot of the success of this franchise, some of the great memories that I'll have forever. So I'm not in that game of just wanting to completely bag on guys. But I will say this. As I got into some Twitter conversations with people, I wanted to ask you this weekend. I started thinking about it. And, you know, again, there's a faction of people out there that want to completely blame all this on the manager, which is completely fine, as is your right to do. And while I don't think he's without fault, I will say that, in my opinion, the number one fault of this club relies in the front office, and that being Mo. And I ultimately always hold the front office accountable because there's a little smoke and mirror thing going on there. While, yes, they are spending money, but are we spending enough money the right way? And what I mean by that is, does it really make any sense to give a bunch of money to this guy when you could have gave a little bit more and got this guy? Now, there may be situations that I'm unaware of, and people say, well, we offered more money to this guy, he didn't come, and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. I don't even need to get into that. My problem is the way the roster has been constructed since day one. When I started this show, I've been saying it. If you go back, you can hear me say, I don't like the way our roster's constructed. One of those guys is now gone, and it's a guy who, yes, he was a good pinch hitter, but he wasn't going to play. And all he was going to do is pinch hit. Part of being a good pinch hitter, and the reason I think Matt Adams was a good pinch hitter was he actually played too. So he didn't always just come off and get one at bat. He would get some starts at first base. That's not happening here. Not anymore. Not with the guy we got playing first now. It's just not going to happen, right? So I think that was part of his allure as being a pinch hitter is that he also played some. I mean, over time, he's just not playing now at all. And he can do nothing else for you. Therefore, I don't know any other roster in this league where they have a guy that's all he does. That's it. That's the only thing he can do. Most guys that are on the bench can play multiple positions. They can run. They can play good defense. They can hit. They can take a good at-bat. This guy here had some pinch hits and had a little bit of power, and that's it. Now, I'm on record saying, but he is one of the best pinch hitters in baseball. Maybe I looked it up. It's like the last however many years, a guy's hitting over 300 as a pinch hitter with like seven pinch hit home runs. But again, I think the reason for that was, and this is an opinion, it could be completely wrong, was that he actually played a lot too. Well, he's not playing now, so I think his pinch hitting numbers, that's why they're, you know, they're just not where they need to be. So as you move him, you still have that same guy on your roster in Johnny Peralta. He can really only play one position. He doesn't even play it that well. So you still have another guy like that on the roster. So you got guys in the bullpen that you don't trust, and let's face it, can't get it done. You got guys that can only play this position. I'm going to take it all the way back to where I've been from the beginning, and that's the roster is poorly constructed. So I ask you this question. Mike Matheny took this club over in 2012. I went back and looked at it. Since 2012, in my opinion, it's been a steady decline of proven talent on this roster. Proven talent on the roster. I challenge you and ask you, would Tony La Russa, Bruce Boch, would any of these guys stand, would they have been okay with that? Would they have been okay with saying, you know what, we're going to get away from the proven guys and we're going to start bringing you a lot of maybe guys? You think they'd have been okay with that?
Yeah, definitely not, obviously. I haven't done the kind of research that you've probably done looking at Matheny from 2012 to now, but I think it's fair to say even the eye test shows that you look at a roster and you say nobody really stands out. You know, well, there's not a couple guys you're going to hang your hat on night in and night out, especially at the plate. And right now there's really nobody that's being outstanding. Maybe outside of Jurco's had a pretty good year, and
sure,
he's turned out to be a pretty great pickup for us. But I mean, even Matt Carpenter, I haven't heard a lot of conversation about Matt Carpenter, but what is he hitting, 240 still or 250 or something like that?
235.
I mean, it's just like
235.
Like, we gotta, that needs to change, you know, like quickly. This is a guy that's supposed to be the leader of our club and hitting in the three hole and constantly leaving guys on base. And obviously he had, a home run the other day, and that's great. But I think it's frustrating. It's probably why it's so easy to get on some sort of train. Like when Machado's name comes up or whoever, we're starving. We're thirsty for that. I don't know what that takes and what kind of money, that takes and what we got to do. But obviously you bring in a guy like Brett Cecil, for example, and you pay him a certain amount of money, and he's just been horribly disappointing for the price. And so we've had a few stabs in the dark, and you'd probably call him one of those maybe guys. Resume. But
what guy's that, did you just say?
Brett Cecil.
Oh, yeah. Listen. When they signed him, I looked at it. I'm not even a stat guy. I don't even like stats.
Right.
Okay, I'm on record saying that. When they signed him, I didn't know that much about him. I saw him pitch a little bit, and I didn't know what all the hubbub was. Because I followed Toronto because I'm a Josh Donaldson guy. I love Josh Donaldson. So I watched him pitch in Toronto. When I seen him pitch, I wasn't impressed. So then they sign him and give him all this money, and I said, I must have missed something. I must have missed something.
Right.
So I went and looked at his stats, and I said, we gave this guy $9 million? I thought, what? I always say they're smarter than me. They're telling me how he might be this prototypical new hybrid guy that can throw two innings. He can't throw an inning. Okay?
Yeah, you're holding your breath. It kind of feels like when Rosie fell apart, for that time a couple seasons ago or last season, when you just hold your breath every time he's on the mound. Oh, my gosh, I hope this goes well. You get to the point where you're even thinking as a fan, like, man, hopefully even if he just gives up a single, that's a win, and it's not good. Obviously our bullpen has some major, major issues, and we're going to have to go. We've got to spend money. That's all there is to it. The guys we have right now, I don't see it just changing and flipping on a dime here. And we've had enough period of time now to see that we got some major issues in the bullpen for sure.
Well, again, it's funny. The more I look at this, it's like an onion. The more I peel it, the more it stinks. Okay, I'm gonna go through this roster here. Okay, and I said this a few weeks ago, and I actually had some people contact me and say I never thought about it. Okay, we've always had guys on the team like a Colton Wong, like a Grichuk, like a Jurco. Okay, we've always had those guys. But it was one or two of them sandwiched around guys that had played. And, of course, everybody looks a lot better when old number five is batting third and carrying the load, right? And then you got Jimmy Edmonds, and you got Edmonds to back him up. And then you bring in a Berkman, and you got a Beltran. You got all these proven veterans, okay? Seriously, all right? Colton Wong, Aledmys Diaz, Jed Jerko, Randall Grichuk, Stephen Piscotty. Who of those guys has given you a long track record to say, this is who I am in the major leagues now? Again, I don't want to hear anything more about I don't really care. I mean, you can flip a coin on the minor league guys that come up. Some of them come up and do great. Some of them come up and do bad. I mean, this is potential, that word. Until they prove it up here, okay? That's what makes the whole thing about Magnus Sierra, that's what it upsets fans. Because here's a guy that came up and actually performed, and now he's gone, okay? So this just is interesting to me. I look at this and I go, I'm looking at this roster going, I don't know. Are you kidding? I could use one or two more proven veterans in that lineup, and that might solidify this thing a little bit. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, the question is, can we get them?
Well, obviously not.
And who are they? You know.
Well, here's my question. We're spending all this money. I'm looking at our lineup. The only three of these guys are getting paid in this lineup, like really paid. The rest of these guys are all, what, five? I mean, we got like three or four, five or six million is nothing anymore. The only guys getting paid are Yachty, Carp, and Fowler. Everybody else is, Colton Wong's making, what, 5 million? What's Aledmys Diaz making? Not much.
Not much at all.
Piscotty's five or six or whatever he is. I mean, where's all the money? Well, I mean, there's 10 on Peralta as I look at it, okay? Well, now we get to the pitching. So where's all the money there? Well, Wainwright accounts for quite a bit of it. Cecil, $9 million. Carlos Martinez just signed a great extension for us. Mike Leake. Again, I'm looking at this roster going, you're telling me that's 100, what is it, 20 or 30 million? What are we spending? I'm flabbergasted. I don't understand it. I'm confused. Somebody's got to tell me if Tony La Russa would sit down and sign off on this. I'm going to manage this roster right here. I think we all know the answer. The guy didn't even want to play Colby Rasmus. So I think we all know the answer. And again, all the Cardinal Nation thought Colby Rasmus was the second coming. But the manager, okay, who sees him every day, who sees how he approaches the game, who sees how he goes about his business, said something's wrong here. I would say the manager was right about that one, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. If Fowler and Carpenter were performing at, you know, let's say they're hitting close to 300 and their on-base percentage is 350 or whatever, you know, is this conversation different? Are they the guys that maybe the management thought were going to anchor this lineup a little bit? I mean, those are the two main guys that are getting paid in the everyday lineup, and they're at the bottom of the pack, at the bottom of the pack, hitting 235 and 220, and doing nothing, you know, let alone errors. And you can question Fowler's effort in the outfield at times. I don't know. You know, there's a big stink on our page, at least, about Fowler's effort on a fly ball, and I don't think he could have caught it. But either way, you know, if those two guys are performing differently, you think that's a different conversation? Is that something we hung our hats on and it's just not working out right now?
Well, my question to you would be this. I mean, 300, semantics, okay? I'll take 280. I'll take Carpenter's career. I'll take their average. Because, I mean, 280 is the new 300, so whatever you want to call. Orange is the new black, whatever. Now, Dexter Fowler, on the other hand, he's not a 300 hitter.
Right.
He's a 260, 270 hitter. I would take both their career averages and be fine with that. Again, I it's not even that. It's the inconsistency which comes with unproven players. That's why I've said since day one, I don't like the way the roster's constructed. There's not enough guys that you can hang your hat on and say this is what they're going to do. Anybody out there that wants to try to tell me, okay, that Randall Grichuk, Stephen Piscotty, Aledmys Diaz, Colton Wong are going to do better than what they're doing now, can't do that. You can't tell me that because they haven't been here long enough. I can tell you what I have seen. What I have seen is a bunch of inconsistency out of all four players. You tell me where I'm wrong.
I mean, it makes you really miss the days of, you know, Matt having the consistency of someone like a Matt Holliday, right? You know, going to be moments in the outfield, whatever. But all in all, like, a Matt Holliday is a guy that we could put a decent amount of stock in. He's one of those solidified veterans. And you miss guys like that. You don't just fill those holes with Randall Grichuk and hope that he can be a Matt Holliday guy, and he hasn't been. And so that's one, you know, example that comes to mind right away is, man, you miss a guy like that who was, you know, most recently on your roster. It's hard to look at even, I don't know if we call him a solidified veteran, but I'll tell you this year, Mark Reynolds is having a year. And being in Colorado, watching Mark Reynolds, you know, you're like, man, I don't know. He had some sort of revival in his career, or we just didn't see his talent enough. I don't know what it was.
There's another Colorado.
Well, it is called Colorado, but did you see who he credited for his turnaround?
Yeah, who's that?
John Mabry. All credit to John Mabry for Mark Reynolds on his resurgence.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah. Don't you find that interesting?
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't hear that.
Well, I mean, you know, I look at this roster and I'm sitting here going, you know, if I'm playing against these guys, I'm like, okay, well, let's go. The Cardinal model has always been to have a few of these guys, but not this many at the same time. And here's the thing. One of your best players, you put through a position change every year, and you don't even know what he can do defensively.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. For every good play he makes at first base, he makes an awful one.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So, again, this roster is constructed poorly. No, Steve?
Yeah, that's probably why we're going to keep seeing the streakiness.
That's right.
It's exactly what we're getting. It's like, hey, if we all happen to be on, great. We got to get a 4 or 5.
But I think you need to.
If we're off, we're real off.
You need to look at where you're at.
Okay.
And you need to figure out. I think the glaring deficiency is obviously in that relief role.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with you on that.
And we're in the games. I don't have a problem with if we're down by one or two going late into a game that we're going to get runners on and we're going to have a shot. I think we've shown that through the first how many ever games.
Okay.
Okay? We're not getting blown out. We're scoring. Okay. The problem is a 4 or 5 run lead is not safe when you get into our bullpen.
Well, obviously not.
And that's the big issue. So you're going to have to decide – from a management standpoint, are you in or out, and how soon do you make that decision? And I think that's what they're trying to do is just push it along and push it along, and at some point you're going to have to decide.
Well, okay, hang on. Let me stop you because you're right, but here's the problem. What's the answer?
Well, the answer is you're going to have to eliminate some of your pieces, your talent in the lower levels if you want to compete now.
All right.
I mean, it's no different than anything else we've ever done.
So who are you going to go get?
Well, there's somebody that's going to bow out.
When?
Soon.
When?
I don't know. That's
when?
What you – and is he working the phones now, or is he waiting until June 15th,
okay.
July 15th,
who's
All-Star
he?
Break?
Who's
Mo.
He? Oh, okay. Just
okay?
Make, okay.
So your general manager is going to make a move once he decides whether what they're doing for the year. I'm not sure that they came into this year thinking we're going to win. I'm not sure they came into this year thinking we're going to compete in the playoffs. Maybe they thought, hey, we're only – one game away from making it last year, we'll add this piece, should solidify us, maybe we can get in and get a series. Maybe we can win the one game.
So you think they're pulling a Blues on us? You think we put a decently competitive team out there, but in the back of their mind, this is a rebuild year without rebuilding? Because we got some money coming, we can do this, we can do that, we can see what we got with a few of these young guys.
Well,
we got
sure
some young, talented pitchers.
I'm not sure it's a rebuild year. I mean, if you want to categorize it in the pure definition of it, because they added Cecil. I'm not sure it's a rebuild year because you gave Yachty the contract. You know, you weren't dumping and signing, okay? You were trying to bring talent in here to be fairly competitive, but I think they fully expected the Cubs to go on a major run and for them not to really compete at that level. And all of a sudden, we sit here on May 22nd, and you look at it and you go, okay, well, we're still in this thing. So when are you going to make a decision whether you're in or out? And how long does that drag on? If the Cubs keep playing poorly and Milwaukee stays where they're at and we continue to hang in there, you're buying time until somebody bows out. When does San Fran bow out?
Okay.
When does San Diego bow out?
Okay. So just say I'm right because I told you that the roster was constructed poorly and it was going to be a bumpy ride, win or lose. Did I not say that?
You did.
Okay. I'm right. See, Nate, we got to the crux of the matter. I'm right.
But nobody else was wrong on it.
Nobody's ever wrong. Well, Nate, I'll tell you what. Great getting your thoughts this week, as always, and thanks for everything you do. Why don't you give our listeners a little info on the Rally Squirrel Club? I've been telling people about it. Why don't you tell them a little bit about it? You can do it so much more eloquently than I.
Yeah. We got about a week left to sign up for this month's box that's being delivered to the door, and we're a monthly subscription club where you get a Cardinals merchandise box sent to your door every month, and you also receive a digital ticket. And that ticket, it gives you opportunities to win some more instant prizes like autographed baseballs and bats and some great memorabilia items. And so you go to rallysquirrel.com, you can get the information for that, get you signed up, and you can gift it to somebody if it would be a great birthday present for a friend or a family member. You can gift somebody a subscription for a month, 3 months, 6 months. There's lots of options for you to get involved there, and we'd love to have you be a part of the club. So, looking forward to it, and looking forward to the Cardinals coming. Obviously, I'm in contest, so I'll be at some games this next weekend, and there'll be a sea of red there, that's for sure. There's always a good turnout in Colorado for Cardinals fans, and let's hope that the rain stays away, number one, and then number two, that we can be competitive and play good baseball. The bats are going to have to show up. I know that, in Colorado. So we'll see how they do.
I'm rained out here. I can tell you that. I'm full of rain.
Yeah.
I'm done with the rain. So I don't want any more rainouts. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Thought you were only happy when it rains.
Not me. I don't like rain. I like baseball. I don't like rain. Well, Nate, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Well, we appreciate you and your contributions. And, again, we can't thank RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page, enough for all the support you give us. And, again, I encourage everybody to check it out. Nate does a great job both with his great articles that he shares and, of course, the Rally Squirrel Club, just, great things that you can do while being a Cardinal fan and enjoying it. So thanks a lot, Nate, and we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nate.
That is Nate McHenry again with RallySquirrel.com. It's the great Facebook page. They're almost 100,000 followers. I know we've been saying that for a few weeks, but he gains some every week. And I just, it's just hard when you get this many. You're not going to get thousands upon thousands when you've already got 100,000. So it's a great thing. Happy to have him. He's got great insight. And again, I really do appreciate everything he does. So another guy that we appreciate is my friend and yours, Benji Molina. As brought to you every week on the M4byYachty.com hotline, let's bring him in. I'm not sure. You never know where he's at. Last time we talked to him, I think he's in Miami. I mean, this guy's traveling the globe. Won't be long to be back here. Where are you at this week, Benji?
I'm in Arizona. Beautiful Arizona. 102 degrees, man.
Beautiful. 102 degrees. Beautiful, he says.
It's a dry heat.
Yep. Beautiful sunny day, man.
Well, welcome in this week, and again, special thanks to your brother and his great brand, M4byYachty.com. We encourage everybody to check it out. Well, Benji, Steve-O mentioned earlier that we had a great weekend last weekend, sandwiched in between, and then a great win yesterday, but sandwiched in between four losses that felt awful. So it's up to you now to honor your statement last week and find 10 straight minutes of positivity. What do you got for us?
Well, our starting pitching, it's really lights out, and Wayne Ray is another one that's been doing great, pitching way better than what he was before. What else can we say about positive? It's a lot of times it's hard to find the positive, as you guys know, but I don't know, man. I think the defense is not playing so well, but the guys are swinging the bat good, I think. So, I don't know, man. I mean, we just got to go through the whole thing and see how they're all doing individually. That's the most positive things that you can get out of out of the whole thing is something individually. As a team, The bullpen's not doing their job. We know that. But they're scoring runs other than that day that they couldn't score for 13 innings.
Yeah.
But
that's a tough one.
But they overall, they've been hitting the ball well. Obviously, we needed more offense in those days, but we were ahead most of the games, man. You know, we were ahead, so all we needed to do was close it out. That's it, you know, but we didn't. So, and then we ended up losing a kid that I don't know about you guys, but I was really excited about Matt Adams. You know, I'm a big fan of him. So we ended up losing him. So that was a sad one. But, you know, that's what I would say, you know, individually, a lot of positive. You know, as a team, we lost four in a row. That's going to be hard to find any positive out of that one. So, and then we had a great game yesterday. Obviously, Wainwright, you know, pitched unbelievable. We had Carlos pitching great. We have old Waka throwing six innings, no runs. We have Lynn throwing two runs in six innings or so. I love in my pitching, man. I always said it. The only thing is we're struggling in the bullpen. That's it, you know?
You know, you can hear him like that reserved voice trying to stay positive. And, you know, and if anybody can stay positive, it's Benji. You know, you bring up the starting pitching. I'm looking at this, and again, I, admittedly not a stats guy, but I'm looking at the numbers here because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not completely losing my mind. But, golly, we have three starters with an ERA under three. Three starters. One of them is almost under two. And Wainwright, his ERA keeps coming down, right? Carlos Martinez, his ERA could easily be under two, under three, if not for one game, right? The one game. So I'm sitting here looking at this going, holy cow. You know what? Then you head south to the bottom and start looking at the relievers. A lot of people freaking out at the manager over the bullpen. So I'm going to ask you this question, okay? I'm not quite sure, and again, it's always easy after the moves are made to complain when they don't work out because, of course, what you would have done would have worked, right? And we won't know because you're never going to know. My argument is this. It's not like he's got five or six guys down there that are throwing really well and he keeps bringing in the one or two guys that aren't throwing well. There's multiple guys down there that aren't getting it done. So where do you stop? Where do you put the Band-Aid over the hole in the dam at? Because your best reliever's ERA down there is 2.7, and that's Trevor. Bowman's 2.7. Benji, we got four relievers down there over five, two of them over six ERA. So who is supposed to pitch? Who's going to pitch?
We cannot have that, and I said it many times in the show. If you're counting on winning the division or you're counting on going far in the playoff, we cannot have that, a bullpen like that. I don't know. The thing that, in my opinion, the thing that they could do is, you know, one of those guys have to go and then bring a new arm in, like Weaver's pitching great in the AAA. Give him a shot about, you know, in the bullpen. Maybe he can help out a little better. And also, you know, even if he struggles, so what? Everybody's struggling. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you look for the opportunity to somebody to turn this bullpen around, a new face. The odd man out in this case might be Broxton because he's an older guy. He's not been pitching well. Maybe. I'm not saying that he should be the guy or anything. I'm just saying in my head he might be the odd man out. And if you have a new guy in, maybe he can turn this thing around. But the guys that you have right now, not many of them are going anywhere, you know. So you have to live with those guys somehow. You have to pitch better. Obviously, well, you have to live with these guys because they're the one who's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this like if I'm a manager and I'm writing these names down and I've got, you know, he's got his lineup card, right? You know, you've seen, everybody's seen it out there. Benji, you've been on the bench. Manager's got his card, right, and then he's got the thing in the dugout, right, that he writes on. When I go over here and look at this, and it's not the eighth or ninth inning, if it's the sixth or seventh inning, I'm looking at this going, I'm flipping a coin. If it's not the eighth or ninth inning, and here's the deal, and here's the other problem. If it's not the eighth or ninth inning, and I haven't been told that my guys are good to go, because we're finding out that more and more these guys are showing up going, I can't go today, Skip. Okay? We got a problem. We got a real problem.
And remember, yes, we have a big problem. It's not a small problem. Not for me, at least. I'm a big fan of the Cards. I'm a big fan. We have a big problem. It's not like a little one. If you want to compete and if you want to win the division or go into the playoff, deep in the playoff, there's no way in the world you can have four guys struggling in the bullpen. You cannot do it like that. You won't do it that way because you will lose games that you started 4-0. You would lose the games that it's 2-1 in the eighth inning or 3-2 in the sixth. You're winning, and you would lose games like that. And so the answer to all the prayers and to all the answers to all these things, the manager have his guys, and that's it. The only thing they can do is sit down and go over them and say, hey, who can we bring here from the minors or a trade, which we're going to get into in a little bit because I want to say my opinion on Adam's trade. Why don't we get a reliever? Why don't we get somebody that come in and say, here, there's the ball in the seven, there's the ball in the six, and see if we can help us out. That's the thing. You know, we have to concentrate in the bullpen if we want to go forward.
Well, again, I don't really know. Like, no matter what happens, no matter who they bring in, and if it doesn't work out, it's always going to be a guessing game, right? Like, you should have brought this guy in. You didn't bring him. You brought him. That started all your da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The bottom line is, even when they have figured out a way to get it done, even the better, like, you know, oh, the other – I mean, let's face it. You can dice up the Friday night game however you want. They had a lead. They had a lead.
They did.
And they had their closer on the mound and lost. Okay? So you can dice that up however you want to dice it. Okay? You can do and say whatever you want to say, but they had a lead in the ninth, and they lost. And they supposedly, now I say this because, again, it's your favorite word, you know, potentially, okay, they had their closer, their best pitcher, okay, on the mound, right, with a lead.
Yeah, but, you know, and the thing is that It could have happened in the eighth inning. It could have happened in the seventh inning. That's where our inconsistency's been. Is it's been in every reliever. It's not like we have one guy that, hey, man, if we can just get to the ninth,
here's,
if we can just get to the eighth.
Here's my favorite too.
All
this
right.
is what I love. So Saturday, okay, Carlos Martinez goes out and throws a gem. He gives you 9 innings of 2-hit ball, right? He's at 90 something pitches, right? And of course, 3 hours later, after you lose, everybody wants to know why you didn't come out and pitch a 10th.
I can tell you guys. I can tell you guys so many things and that I saw in that game and I didn't like. But, like, again, that's the manager's choice that he's in the game. He's in the dugout, not me. He had the opportunity, like, when that inning started, it started by Posey getting a hit. Then Crawford got a hit. Right then, you have 2 righties coming up, or 1 more lefty. I wasn't sure, but at least bring a righty in. If we lose the game, let's lose it the right way. Let's not think about 2 innings ahead, because we could lose that game right then, and we did. Those are the decisions that if you want to, as a fan, if you want to criticize the coaches, and if you want to criticize the manager, those are the things that you have to criticize. His decision making on who brings in, who he takes out, the timing of taking him out, who he brings, all those things, like we talked before in the shows. And that day, we don't know what happened, of course. We don't know, you know, what they're thinking or everything. You know, we don't know anything what's going on in the bullpen, in the dugout. But I thought he could have done a better job about bringing somebody else and things like that. I know Broxton's not pitching well, but he left Sigrist with 40 pitches in the second inning. He pitched great the first inning. He knows the second inning, he was struggling a little bit, three hits, four hits. Here we go. You know, bring somebody in just to face those righties. Don't let him struggle the second inning. First inning, he's a great pitcher. Second inning, it's tough to pitch two innings. That's exactly how it is. It's really tough to throw two good innings because the hitters know and everybody gets used to. You get a little bit slowed down. You go to the dugout. You come back. Oh, whatever you want to say. But it's hard, man. You have to have somebody ready for those. As soon as he gave up two hits in a row, I'll bring my righty in. I don't care how much struggles the Broxton or Soco, whoever, are going through. Those are the guys I have. I'm going to bring my righty. I don't care. I'll lose and die with my righty against the righties. And sure enough, end up being Arroyo, a righty, against who? A lefty.
Yeah, that was one. Yeah, that was one where I was. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm going to go to my right hander there, and if I lose, I lose. But, you know, I mean, again, you know, nobody asks about those guys. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm looking at it, and I'm sitting there going, okay. I guess in his mind, we're in extra innings here. We've already went through two of the three relievers that you minorly trust in Rosenthal and Bowman. You know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, BMO, I had a question for you. From a player's...
The only thing that I was thinking, guys, that he left Sigrist in, the only reason I can find is he's thinking two innings ahead. Like, I'm going to save my guys because I don't know how long this game's going to go. And that's probably the only reason.
Well, I mean, and somebody at some juncture's got to throw two innings, right? We've talked about that on here, too. When you start getting into extra inning games... One of these relievers has got to throw two innings because you're going to run out of pitchers. I mean, you're going to.
And what did we always say about extra innings? They don't go in favor of the Cards.
No, because we don't have enough pitchers down there.
Right. So, yep. BMO, from a standpoint, from a player standpoint, when Martinez is sitting on 97 pitches after nine innings and he's thrown great. What is, and you've seen the Cardinals, obviously. What do you think those guys are feeling when they don't trot him back out there for the 10th to face that heart of the lineup right there?
I don't see why not. 97 pitches, and then you see him riding, and then you see the management, in this case, Martinez, whoever, you know, I don't know, the pitching coach, whatever it is. Then you see him the next outing, and seven innings, he riding for 120. Or six innings, 120 pitches. Why couldn't he do that after the nine?
And he was throwing free and easy. You know, and
I don't understand.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, I thought for sure, and it looked like he was ready to go out for the 10th, or wanted to at least, and continue. And I just didn't know, with given what the bullpen's been like, if the guys on the field maybe have put their head down like, oh, man. It would have been nice to have one more shot with Martinez to go out there and see if we could come in and win it in the 10th.
I think he could have gone out easily. And the reason I'm saying this is because you will see games when he pitches six innings, 120 pitches. When you see him going seven innings, 120 pitches. So why can he go 120 pitches in 10 innings? Why? What tells you or us, what tells us that he cannot do that? Nothing. Nothing, man. Especially with a 0-0 game. And we go back to this all the time. We don't know what happened inside the dugout. We don't know if Martinez said he was done. We don't know if he didn't feel great. We don't know if Yadi came in and said, hey, man, he's losing it. You know, something like that. So we don't know that. But assuming everything was good, I don't see why he couldn't come out. I mean, I know it's 10 innings, of course, but why does he throw 120 for 7 innings before or after? And he cannot go for 120 for 10. I mean, I don't get it. It's still insane.
Yeah, those are the things that I would love to have the answers to. See, those are the questions that I think are legit questions. Like, your point is extremely valid. It isn't like he hasn't thrown 115 pitches, which I would say the way he was throwing, I think that was legit number for him and for 10 innings. Now, again, you're right. We don't know. The player's never going to tell you, yeah, man, I bowed out of the game. He's never going to tell you that. And again, that, as I say all the time, it is the manager's job to stand up there and take the questions and not deflect it onto the players. So we're not going to know. But, and I say this just in all honesty, we don't score any runs, okay? And we get to the 13th in, or the 12th inning when Seegers comes in and he pitches, you know, he pitches well. And he comes back out for the 13th, you know, because really at the end of the day, now you're in the 13th inning. You haven't scored any runs. You're going to run out of bullpen guys here eventually. I could see why he left him in. That's not my problem. My problem was, you're right, once we got down to Arroyo, I think we had to go to the right-hander and we didn't do it. And, you know, again, those are the things I always am like, well, that sure didn't work. You know what I mean? That sure didn't work.
Yeah, I think was Nunez, and then Arroyo, right? Two
yep.
righties.
Yep.
Right there, I can lose my game. And I'm not going to leave my lefty that has thrown me almost two innings, he's battled his butt off to throw two innings when he might not be so used to it. And you know your pitcher might be a little tired in the second inning. It's not the same guy. I don't see why you leave him in. The only thing I can see, he was thinking ahead. Like, I want Seegers to finish too, so I can have more guys for the end of, you know, like overtime or, you know, extra innings and stuff, you know. So I was thinking that that's the only reason why he left him in. But I'm the manager there, and I'm bringing my best righty out of the bullpen, even if he's struggling, of course, like we're saying. That could be in his decision too. Like, okay, Broxton or Soko, they're both struggling, so who I bring? I can lose the dang game there, man. I can lose my game there. I got to close that inning. I don't care how many innings we play. Even if Greg Garcia has to come in and pitch one inning, I don't care. I just don't want to lose the game right then, you know, in that situation. So I got to bring, even if the guy's struggling, whatever, I got to play my card, and that's the righty against righties. And if he goes out and he gets the guy out, then we keep going, and whatever happens after. You know what I mean? Like, but I need to close. I cannot lose my game having two guys being a right-hander batters and getting hits off my lefty and lose the game. And this is my opinion. I cannot have that.
Well, again, I'm with you. I would have changed. I would have went to the right-hander and said, here, beat him, no matter who it was. It could have been Soko. It could have been Broxton. I wouldn't have even cared. But I would have at least given myself what I thought to be a better chance. The reality is, at the end of the day, they think that less of the other two guys that they said, you know what, we're going to go with Seegers here. So that to me is the problem. I mean, who do we have down there? Who do we have? Who is down there that you look at and go, and again, this is one game. I'm talking on the whole. Again, if you're the manager and you're looking at this thing, I mean, who do you feel good about putting in there? Because some of these other teams construct their bullpens this way. They shut this thing down after six innings. You know what I mean? It's over.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Not us. We got a bunch of guys down there, can't get anybody out. And I guess we're supposed to throw the same three guys every night. I don't understand it. I don't understand why. This is like buying a Ferrari and saying, you know what, we got the Ferrari, but I don't have any tires on it. So I got this great car that can run, but I'm not going to put any tires on it right now. I'm going to wait and see how it goes rolling down the street on the rims. And then if we're competing, I'm going to go buy some tires for it. This doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and I'm telling you guys from the get-go, I said it really early, without a bullpen doing their job, I don't care who it is, without a bullpen doing a job, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. Believe me when I say this. When you have a bullpen that's struggling and you give up when you were winning 4-0 twice and you give up all the runs and then you lose, you are not going to win many games. That's just how it is. And fans out there need to understand the bullpen is a huge, huge part of a winning team. Just know that. It's a huge part of winning. And if you don't have a good bullpen, sorry, man, it's not going to happen. You're going to have battles. You're going to compete. You're going to win some games. But in the end, it's going to hurt you because you don't have those guys pitching well, you know, and you can't win games like that. So those things have to be thought, and I'm sure they're going through them. They're probably thinking about it. But if you have Adams that the Braves are having it, you know, the Braves were wanting him, why didn't you trade him for a pitcher, for a bullpen to help out? Because that's what you need. I respect all the decisions the Cardinals make. I don't know what's behind it. Like I always say, I don't know why they did that or how or what was the reason or whatever. But if you need bullpen help and you're trading Matt Adams to the Braves, why get a minor league like that? Try to get a bullpen guy because that's what you need, help.
Well, let me ask you this.
I don't know.
As critical as I've been of Mo, do you think he didn't try and he's just – nobody was going to give up any real bullpen help for that? I mean, I'm asking an honest question. It could have been that.
I mean, seriously, we don't know because that's what's going on inside. Nobody knows. But it could be that. It could be that he couldn't find anybody that wanted to be traded for Matt Adams, you know, for a bullpen help. It could be that. I'm just saying that – that we didn't see that, right? They traded Matt Adams, and we could have a bullpen. But again, we don't know what happened. We don't know how they deal with the staff. We don't know who they talk. We don't know anything inside. We just hear talking and expressing our opinions. Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean, we're always speculating, right? Always. I mean, yeah. I say it all the time. I mean, what do we really know? But again, you've said it. I'm with you 100%. When you see some things, you can disagree with them. This is a complete that was one thing that I'm sitting here going, man, I'm not going to lose with my lefty on my righty here. Although I will say, if you're being consistent, they've always viewed Segrist as an eighth inning guy. So it doesn't matter if you're left handed or right handed.
But listen, there's those things that the manager needs to think about. It's the second inning, his second inning. And how did the second inning start it? It wasn't his first inning.
Right.
His first inning, he did good. The second inning started with two hits, actually three, but two. Posey, and then he got somebody out. I think it's Bell or whatever. I don't know. Or he got Bell out first, and then Posey, and then the other guy got a hit, you know, Crawford. As soon as that happens and it's my second inning on this pitcher, I'm getting him out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm going with my – I thought the Crawford one was the bad one.
I don't want to lose the game here. I don't care if later on, like I said, Greg Garcia or Wong has to have an inning in his arm or Diaz, Peralta. I don't care about that. I got to save my game right now. And then later on, we might score after we close this out. We might score the next inning and we win the game. We don't know. And if you're worried about having more innings in the extra inning, then you have your infielders throw one inning because that's what it was. You can help that. That's not something you want. That's something that happened. So guess what? One of my shortstop or my second base or a bench player comes in and try to get it out. But I'm not going to lose my game there.
No, I agree with you. This is where it turned for me, and you're right. So I've got the inning here. Let's look at how it laid out. He strikes out Belt to start the inning off. They leave him in to face Posey, which I understand because Crawford's behind Posey. Posey gets the hit. That's fine. Okay? When Crawford got the hit is when I would have took him out. me personally. Now, again, I don't have the issue of looking ahead like he is, and I also maybe, to your point, I don't know some things maybe he knows, whatever. But Nunez then gets the shallow hit to left, and then that's when then all hell breaks loose with the Arroyo double, which, you know what, the Arroyo double was a good at bat. I mean, it was it 10, 11 pitches, something like that, 9 pitch, 8?
It was a good at bat, but who was it against? A lefty.
Sure.
When you have a Broxton guy in the bullpen getting ready for who? The next guy that after the double.
Sure.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But, you know, that's Steve, let me ask you this question as you sit over there and you ponder. So he takes Segrist out there, and he takes Segrist out and brings Broxton in, and Nunez gets a hit. And then
we're still flipping out.
We're still flipping out. Why? Yeah,
because Broxton's terrible.
Yeah, because he's terrible, and they're going – I'm tired of the lefty righty thing. Segrist is better than Broxton. Why don't you leave him in? That's really where I'm at the
end of the day. And that's great.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That's great. If he was thinking that, you do or die with that.
Yep.
And we did. We died.
Yeah, we died.
but I know. But you guys, see, you guys go on that, and that game doesn't bother me that at all. That game, 13 innings.
But you see what I mean? Like you die with, or do or die with that. And he probably was thinking the same way you guys were thinking. And he'd do or die with it, and that's fine. But my things, you know, the way I see things, I don't lose like that because it makes me look really bad. That's what I'm saying. I want to be ready to go against somebody. You know, I want somebody to be ready. Even if it's Broxton, like you said, he's struggling. I don't care. It's who I have. It's who I have, man.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
My deal is to bring the guys that I have in, righty against righty, whatever it is. If they're struggling, gosh, man, I cannot help out on that. They need to pitch better. That's exactly what we're trying to say here to the fans. The bullpen needs to pitch better. That's it.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that they can, though.
But
that's the problem. I don't know that they can. That's where I'm at the end of the day. I don't know. Again, I'm going to
– Well, I know they can't keep a lead. I know that much. Okay,
well, they've proven they can't.
That's the struggle. You know, when you go 0-0 and you go, you know, four extra innings, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. And you're right, BMO. I'd rather have probably made a move and lost that way on the do or die with Broxton or whoever than something else. But at the end of the day,
you'd have been complaining if they didn't.
You're going to complain about a loss.
That's right.
But my complaint glaringly over this week, like I said earlier in the show, Binge, was – I felt like I was at the blackjack table, and I was getting good cards. And then I kept getting beat by the dealer. And that's the frustrating part, is you're just not catching a break. Up by four runs, you blow it. Up by two runs, you blow it. You know, 0-0, I'm fine. Yeah, up by four twice. You had those games won against a good team. And then you got to beat San Fran.
Exactly. That's the big word right there, against a good teams.
Crazy. Frustrating, Jimbo. Real frustrating.
It
doesn't get easier. We just said that. You're going to go out to L.A.
Yeah,
you're going to go out to Colorado.
You may come limping home here.
And we're going to have to and BMO's going to have to come into town and bring them some luck when they come back in on Memorial Day weekend.
They may come limping back into town here after this one. This could be ugly.
We need luck right now, guys. So we need that right now. We don't. Please don't wait until I get there.
We play better on the road, that's for sure. Let me tell you something. But even the best pitchers with great ERAs go into Colorado and come out of there and feel like somebody beat them with a stick. It's just a bad place to go. But hey, it's been our. Listen, they've pitched well. The starters have thrown well.
And our guys have played great in Colorado before. It's not like they haven't done. They killed those pitching over there. So we might have a good series, man.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I listen, at the end of the day, the starters have been a breath of fresh air. There's been some other great storylines. I sit at this thing now and look at it and think to myself, again, I've said it a couple times now. I just don't like the way the team's constructed. I just don't. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know where the help's at unless you make some tough decisions. And I hate to say it, but that's what I'd be doing. I'd be making some tough decisions in that bullpen. There'd be some guys out. I'm sorry, but I cannot go into another game looking down there, and my choices are Broxton, Sokolovich,
Juliavala.
I actually think he's – I like him. I think he's been okay. I do. I think he's
Just be ready, man. You guys be ready because that's all you got right now. So those are the guys that are going to be in there. I see what you guys are saying, but, man, those are the guys we have, and we have to ride them out until they make a decision to bring somebody or keep these guys, you know?
Yeah, there's going to have to be a tough decision made somewhere because, again, I want to like a couple of these guys, but they're not getting it done. You can shape this however you want, but Kevin Seagrass has a 5.29 ERA. Now, you tell me how you look down there in that bullpen and you feel good bringing Kevin Seagrass in a game.
Well, yeah, look at Broxton's whip at 2.19.
Okay.
That's
all right.
I mean, that's going to kill you.
So when I look down there, I've got to bring in Broxton, Sokolovich, Cecil, or Seagrass. Those four got to go. They got to go. They got to go.
Just flip a coin and start praying, and let's go. I hope that they start pitching better. That's the only thing we can do right now.
Well, and again, you take O out. You take O or Seagrass or O or Rosenthal out of the mix because they're your save guy. So now
and
you've eliminated.
Bowman has been pitching great.
Bowman's fine. Bowman's okay. By the eye, though, I'm a little worried. Okay, but I get it. He's okay. He's been up and down. He started off great, went through a rough patch, a little bit better. The other night, not so good. But again, when you're looking at what we're looking at, you can't complain about Bowman. Even though I think he's been okay. You can't complain about him right now. I'll bring him in a game and feel okay about it, no problem. But I'm telling you, whoever's closing that day, you take O or Rosenthal out. Okay, you take them out of the mix because they're your ninth inning guy or your save guy, whatever it is. You take out the other four because you don't trust them, and what do you have left? That's it.
Exactly. So
you can't do this. You can't do it. You can't do it.
How can we blame a manager for making those decisions when you have four guys struggling in the bullpen? We cannot judge a manager for that. We can just make the judge on the player because the player's not pitching well, and that's four of them. So that's the only thing you can do now, unless you shake it up and you bring somebody that's going to help you out in the bullpen, like I said. Bring a young guy, maybe that young guy, even if he struggles, so what? Everybody's struggling down there, so who cares? You know, but at least he might be better. He might give you a nice arm, an extra arm that you weren't counting on, it, a fresh start for once, you know. So they're going to have to do something because, like I said, I don't think we can go far if we keep losing games that we should win.
Well, let's find out what happens here this week because, like I said, I think this is going to be a rough week. This could be one of those weeks where you kind of go out and get it handed to you a little bit, and you get your hand forced on you where you got to make some tough decisions. And I know
– Hey, man, let me tell you guys this. When you have a pitching staff, that starters that are pitching the way they are, dude, we're going to be in all the games. And you know, obviously the bullpen is not, you know, it's not doing the job, but I'll take my chances. You know what I mean? Like, even if their bullpen is not pitching well, our starters are pitching unbelievable, and I'll take my chances and go from there. You know what I mean? At least our starters are pitching really good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You're right. You feel like every night when you go to the park, you're going to be in the game. But, man, it's that uneasy feeling as it gets late in the game. And it's, you know, it is exciting to some degree, but, boy, it sure doesn't feel good. Like, you don't feel like, okay, let's bring our guy in. This thing's over. I don't know that you feel that way. Now, I think when Rosie's on rest and if O's rested, I think you feel better. I do. I mean, but that's not, again, we say it all the time, this is not a perfect storm. This is not a perfect scenario. These games are not scripted. They're not scripted. You can't go into it saying, okay, here's what I'm going to do tonight. You can't, because the game is not scripted.
You have to be a winning team, you have to have a winning bullpen. If you don't, let's not be fooled and try to fool ourselves or trick ourselves into it. Nope. If you don't have a winning bullpen, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Well, my friend, good talk. Again, Steve-O's right, man. This West Coast trip, these things are always a little rough, so I'm gonna be curious to see how we make out of it. But hey, we appreciate you like we do each and every week, and we'll have to see what's going on Thursday and see where we're at. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds great, man. And I always stay positive. I'll tell you, I love my Cards. I know they're tough guys out there. They give it all. So, hey, man, I'm with them a lot. You know, like I'm with them 100%. I know the bullpen's not doing well, but fans out there, just stay with them. Like I said early, stay with them because they got the great heart. We'll be fine.
All right. Well, hey, you heard him. Listen to that positivity. I love it. That is the great Benji Molina, brought to you on the M4 by Yachty.com hotline each and every week. Steve, I know we ran over a little bit this week, but lots of struggle out of that bullpen. At the end of the day, we're just going to have to get that cleaned up and to even give ourselves a chance. And then after that, we'll deal with the rest. But I think Mo's going to have to be – he better be working. That's all I can say. He just better be getting some work done. And I think the sad part is I think Adams not bringing back a reliever showed you what the market was for him, which obviously wasn't very much. But at the end of the day, obviously we're not going to get any bullpen help in a trade. I don't believe anything of any real significance. If it's me, I'm reaching down into the minors. And I'm going to bring Flaherty up. I'm going to bring up some of these other guys. If they can bring Alex Reyes up and put him in the bullpen, why can't they bring one of these other guys up and put him in the bullpen?
You're going to have to do something. Like you said, you didn't find anybody to trade. You had a glaring need, and Atlanta had a glaring need, and you didn't get back your need, and you gave them a first baseman for rent, right? Or, you know, to have to, you know, handle what Freddie Freeman's loss is going to be like. Why they didn't get a third team involved, I don't know. Maybe they know the Cardinals have something with the team, and they weren't going to give them the reliever they needed. So go to the minors, get somebody right now.
I had saw a thing on it. They had said plain as day, we're not going to give up anything of any real significance for a 10-week rental. We're just not.
Right.
And again, it isn't like they were going to get a new first baseman. They have the best first baseman in the league, really.
One of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
That guy was on fire.
And he's a good – he does it all. So that, at the end of the day – it just is what it is. So, sounds good. We'll see. I don't know that it sounds good. I always say sounds good. I don't know that it does sound good. We're going to find out. Want to remind everybody to make sure you check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's the website where you can also subscribe to the podcast. It is absolutely free. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Share our stuff. We'd greatly appreciate it. Of course, you can join our new Facebook group. It's just called Birds on a Bat. Send in a request. We'll be happy to accept you if you're a Cardinal fan. And thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. They take your entertainment time very seriously, as do yourself. So find a new show you like on there. Follow it. I know you'll love it. A lot of race fans out there. Race Day at Fairmont Park with our good friend Jono. Does a great job talking about the ponies. Seems like there's a nice correlation between everything. But definitely check them out. Lineupmedia.fm. Special thanks again to Nate McHenry and RallySquirrel.com for all his support. Chris Lawless, his Cardinal Nation, and his Cardinals 24/7, and of course the Cardinal Freak. For Steve Flowers, I'm Jimbo, and for Benji Molina, we will see you guys on Thursday. Let's go Cards!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.